Our scripture reading this afternoon taken from Genesis chapter 17. We made mention of Genesis 15 to 17 this morning as we looked at our blessed God, the theme of our blessed God. We come and we look specifically at Genesis 17 this afternoon. And also, once again, the last time I was with you for our confessional reading, we did read the Belgic Confession Article 1, which we are going to do again. If you haven't put this together in terms of some of the themes, when I've been with you the last couple of months on the second Sunday of the month, we did a series of sermons on the attributes of God, and you're getting bits and snippets of that series as I am able to be with you. And so we turn our attention once again to the Belgic Confession, Article 1, so page 855, that's going to be also our reading. But first, let us read Genesis 17. We'll read the first 14 verses of that chapter. This is the Word of God. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. And then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money, must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. That is the word of our God. And then we want to read once again together the Belgic Confession, Article 1, the only God. And we are looking, as you see the sermon title, this afternoon, the designation in Hebrew, El Shaddai, which is translated often as God Almighty. And we will see that statement here in Article 1. And so, Belgic Confession, Article 1, the only God. We all believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that there is a single and simple spiritual being whom we call God, eternal, incomprehensible, invisible, unchangeable, infinite, almighty, completely wise, just, and good, and the overflowing source of all good. As we think on God, it is a theme that is beyond us in every way. As we contemplate who God is, it is, again, a theme that goes beyond our abilities to comprehend. Part of the marvel of the Word of God, as we have it set before us, is the fact that this God, who is so far above us, says something to us about himself. The condescension of God, even in speaking to us of who he is profound. We come to Genesis 17, and by extension, as I tie it to our confessional reading, to this statement of God being almighty, we come to Genesis 17, and we have this designation for the first time in redemptive history, in at least the record of redemptive history in the scriptures, that God comes to Abram when he's 99 years old, verse 1 of chapter 17, and he declares himself to be, I am Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. Now, generally, when we come to Genesis chapter 17, especially in our heritage and our background, in our minds, you know, as you think about different chapters of the Bible, themes come to our mind sometimes. And when we think of Genesis chapter 17, for most of us, probably, the idea that comes to our mind, if anything comes to our mind from Genesis 17, would either be the sign and seal of covenant, or specifically circumcision. We often will hear Genesis chapter 17 spoken of as we think about our understanding of baptism in the scriptures, the covenant sign and seal to our children. And absolutely, Genesis chapter 17 is the place where we would go to do this, to look at this theme of the signs and seals of the covenant of grace that God has given. And he does indeed establish this with Abraham. But this afternoon, I want to actually get no further than the declaration of God in verse 1 of chapter 17. It is this designation, it is this statement, it is this revelation of God to Abram that actually sets the stage for everything that is going to be said concerning the sign and seal, circumcision, covenant, our children, all of it. That God comes here for the first time in terms of written revelation, and he declares himself to be El Shaddai, God Almighty. And we know that God does nothing by chance. We know that God does not do anything by accident. It is not as if God kind of opened up, you know, his book of names that he goes by and kind of says, I'm going to plug this one in here, and just kind of throws it randomly before Abraham. When God comes and says something about himself, he does so very purposefully in the context in which he is working and what he's doing and what he's revealing. And so it is extremely significant that God comes to Abram at this particular time as he has established his covenant with Abram. He's reminded him of his promises. And before he ever gets into sign and seal and all of those kind of things, he comes to Abram and he says to him, listen, I am El Shaddai. It is that important. As we think about this attribute of God being God Almighty, to everything that we know and understand concerning the idea of covenant and covenant signs and seals and what God has promised and you know, all of those things that wrap around that reality, God says to us, listen, you need to understand that I, the one who is establishing these things, is El Shaddai. I am God Almighty, as it is often translated. And so that will be our theme this afternoon as we look together, again, the statement being made that God is almighty, infinite and almighty, and then here as we look at the first designation of this term, El Shaddai, we want to focus our attention on God who is El Shaddai. We'll begin by looking at what God is saying here. Oftentimes, translation is a little bit difficult. And so in terms of going from one language to another, some of you are very familiar with that. You know, as you think about a word that captures something big, and then to put that into another language, what word do you use? You have to use many words to kind of capture it. We're going to find the same thing going on here as we think about this designation of God, El Shaddai. And so we want to make sure that we're clear on what is going on here. And then we want to immediately follow the declaration of God when he comes to Abram and he says, I am Almighty God. There is a call that God gives, that El Shaddai gives. First, he declares himself to be El Shaddai, and then he says, walk before me and be blameless. There is a call. And this is the progression, what we want to look at today in the sermon. We want to first look at the designation El Shaddai, and then we want to look at the call of El Shaddai, walk before me and be blameless. So here we have God coming to Abram, and he makes this declaration for the first time in recorded inscripturation. As we begin at Genesis 1:1 and kind of work our way through, here we find God saying, I am El Shaddai. Now, anytime God says, I am, in the Bible, we take notice, because he is saying something profound about who he is. Whether he stops at that statement, as he does in Exodus 3, I am, or whether he follows that with something else. In this case, it is a statement that I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty, as it is translated. And we have that word, or the Hebrew words, El and Shaddai. Some of us would be familiar with the Hebrew, even if we know nothing about Hebrew. We don't know Hebrew at all, but we might be familiar with Michael Card's song, El Shaddai. That this is exactly where it comes from, as God declares himself to be El Shaddai. The word El is easy. El, two words, El Shaddai. El is extremely simple. It is the designation for God. And so when you're reading this verse and it says, I am Almighty God, El is God. It's the term Shaddai that becomes a little bit of a tricky word to translate. It's a tricky word to go from that word Shaddai to one English word. And it certainly, without any mistake, it certainly speaks of God's power. There's no question, as you trace the word Shaddai and God's declaration of himself, there is absolutely no question that it speaks of God's power, of his ability. And we are reminded, as we hear this designation El Shaddai, that we are dealing with a God who can do what he wants, how he wants, when he wants, if he wants. He is God, and he is Almighty God. Sometimes as we're thinking of God and we're thinking of who he is, we might think of a word, omnipotent, all-powerful, that God is power itself, that he doesn't have to reach outside of himself in order to kind of get a recharge. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He creates the entire universe with a word. And it's a silly statement, he doesn't even break a sweat. It doesn't deplete his power one bit. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. There is indeed an implication here in this term El Shaddai that speaks of God's power. But this word is more specific than just a general statement of his power. It actually has a little bit more of a pointed end to it than this all-inclusive statement of God's omnipotence. It includes that, but it's to a purpose. It also speaks, this word Shaddai, speaks of God's being in and of himself sufficient for all things. Not just powerful, but it speaks of his sufficiency. And so you've got to remember here, as we think about what God was doing, he is establishing his covenant promise with Abram. He is establishing signs and seals. And so God, in essence, is coming to Abram, and he's saying, not only that I am in and of myself powerful enough to bring these promises to fruition, but I am in and of myself sufficient to bring the entirety of that promise to fruition. So God's power is just a part of what this declaration is. He is all sufficient to fulfill that which he has promised. Now, again, this morning we touched on this. I'm not going to spend much time here, but we have to be reminded again of the essence of what God has promised here. Right? As we come to this promise of God, the promise of the covenant of grace, established here in terms of the outworking of the Abrahamic covenant, we have God coming to Abram, and we have him saying there in Genesis 15:1, I am your shield, your very great reward. That God is coming in the context of this covenant in terms of this promise, and he is promising himself. Right? We talked about that this morning in terms of God being infinitely blessed. He is blessing and blessedness. That God comes to Abram and he says, you know, I am your shield. I am powerful enough to do that which I've promised, but I am also your very great reward. I am the essence of that which I am promising to you. It is me that I am promising. That God is El Shaddai as he comes to Abram and he says, I am not only able to fulfill the promise, but I am sufficient in everything, in every aspect, to fulfill that which is promised to you. That I will be your God, the God of your offspring, and you will be a blessing both to your descendants and to the nations. But God is coming to Abram, and he is saying something very specific about himself, that he is all-sufficient, he's almighty, he is all-sufficient to do that which he has promised. In fact, the old Genevan Bible of 1560, as you think about, you know, just different translations, that Genevan Bible, a lot of the Puritans use that Bible. They translate Genesis 17:1 as Abram comes to God and he says, I am God all-sufficient. They're not arguing about the essence of what is going on here. They are going, which word do I use to capture Shaddai? And so God is almighty. He is all-sufficient. He is a God who is not only able to bring us to a state of blessing, but he is also able to bring us to himself as the blessing. It ties very much. I chose these two sermons together today on purpose. It ties very closely to God as infinitely blessed, that he is a God who is capable and able to bring us to that reality that he has promised. It's fascinating to trace the Old Testament use of this name, this particular name of God, El Shaddai, through the Old Testament. I'm not going to go through every occurrence that we find. But if you started here and you realize what God is saying to Abram, God changed his name to Abraham, he comes to Abraham and he says, before he establishes any sign in Israel or anything, I am El Shaddai, I am God Almighty, I am God All-Sufficient. Everything that I promise, you will find in me. To bring you to that state, to keep you in that state, it is in me. Genesis 28, you'll find the next instance. It's interesting. When Isaac blesses Jacob, verses 3 and 4, be fruitful and multiply. I will be a God to you and your descendants after you, and you will be a blessing to the nations. It is a reiteration of this reality, and God comes in that instance and he says, before Isaac blesses Jacob, before the continuation, God comes and he says, I am El Shaddai. And again, we find it in Genesis chapter 35, verses 10 to 12, when God renames Jacob. And he says, your name will be now Israel. It's no longer going to be Jacob. It is going to be Israel. And I will be a blessing to you and your descendants after you and to the nations. But as he comes to say that, he begins the whole process once again by saying, I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. I am God All-Sufficient. God continually reminds us that he is absolutely sufficient in power and satisfaction to bring us to himself and to bless us in himself. That's who our God is. And there's a continual reminder as the essence of the covenantal promise of God to his people comes and is revealed, that God says, don't forget, I am El Shaddai. What I promise I can fulfill in every jot and tittle. There is a great reminder or a great application in this reality. Again, as you allow, if you are here this morning, it stands alone, if not, but as you think about God as infinitely blessed, and you think about God in what he has promised here to Abram, and he comes and he says that I am El Shaddai, he is reminding us over and over and over again in the scriptures, and he reminds us here as we gather this afternoon in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God isn't just a means to blessing, but that he is blessing itself. There's a very, very, very different perspective when you look at those two statements. So often in our minds and in our hearts, whether we do it on purpose or not, we share some of the same frailties in terms of struggling with things. One of the things that so often happens in our hearts is that we turn the idea of blessing as it is associated with God in the fact that God is some kind of a conduit to bring us to a state of blessing. And that state of blessing is almost outside of himself. And so we come to God and we say, Lord, would you bless us? And you think about what it is that's in your mind. You know, if only I had this, I would be blessed. If only I had this, I would be blessed. If only we could, you know, if my family was healed or fixed, spiritually or physically, then I would be blessed. And Lord, please bless us. Or if only I had a job, things would be so much better. Would you please bless us, O Lord, through those things? Or, you know, if we didn't have the struggles that we are having now in terms of COVID and worship and all of those kind of things, Lord, if that was only gone, we would be blessed. You can fill in the blanks. What we are reminded of here as God comes to us, like he came to Abraham to declare himself to be El Shaddai, is he says, listen, I'm not a conduit to blessing. I am the blessing. I am El Shaddai. And while those things are good, and while those things are pleasant, and while those things are rightly to be prayed for, as long as they are according to the Word of God, none of them are the essence of what blessing is. God is coming here, and he is coming to Abram, and he's saying, I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. I am God All-Sufficient for your every need, for everything. That is who I am. And it helps us as we come to God that we ought never to treat him as a conduit to another end. It's fine. Please don't misunderstand me. It's fine as we pray for our daily bread. It's fine as we plead for our families. It's fine to plead for our government and the situation that we find ourselves in the church. But God is the only one who is El Shaddai. He is the only one who is sufficient to fulfill that which he has promised to us. And it is found in him. And so as we think about the propensity of our heart, you know, if you catch yourself thinking, if only I had this, if only I had this, if only I had this, then I would be blessed. It is to remind yourself, it is to be reminded here, as God comes to us and declares himself as El Shaddai, to say that that is, whatever that is, if it's not God, it is ultimately a lie. That if God were to give us any one of those things in and of themselves, just fine. But if he were to give us any one of those things and not give us himself, we're not blessed. All kinds of pagans have jobs, money, fame. All kinds of unbelievers have decent family situations. But they don't have God. God comes to Abram, he says, I am El Shaddai. I'm not a means to a blessing. I am the blessing. I am Almighty God. I am God all-sufficient. And so as we contemplate what God is saying here concerning himself, we now can come to look very carefully at what immediately follows. There is a call that El Shaddai gives to Abram. He comes to Abram and he declares that he is El Shaddai. And then he says, walk before me and be blameless. God has just revealed himself to Abram as the God who is almighty, all-sufficient, that he is the one in himself that will bless and be the blessing. And then he says to Abram, walk before me and be blameless. It is essential that we get this in the proper order. God declares himself to be all-sufficient, almighty. Then he says, walk before me. Abram, walk before me. Walk in me. Walk in my grace. Walk in my glory. Walk in my sufficiency. Walk in my almightiness. Walk in me. Walk before me. Walk in my presence. Walk in who I am, your all-sufficient one. And then be blameless. And then walk uprightly and righteously. We cannot, must not, get these two realities reversed. God does not say to Abraham, be blameless, and then come walk before me. He does not say to Abraham, listen, clean up your act, and then you can walk before me. No, he declares himself to be El Shaddai, and he says, walk in my presence, walk in who I am, walk in what I supply, and be blameless. Because in me you will find everything necessary to do that which I call you to do, and that is to be blameless. Walk before me and be blameless. So often we reverse these things in our minds, and we suffer miserably for it. We say to ourselves, we dare not go to God because we're struggling with sin. You know what kind of week I had? You know what kinds of things I've been struggling with? You know what goes on in my mind? I dare not go to God. I must not go to God. I don't measure up. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. And so I don't go to the Lord. In that we are seeking to be blameless before we walk with God. We are denying the fact that God is El Shaddai, that he is all-sufficient for our every need. In our weakness and in our frailty and in our sin and in our struggles, God is El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. It's interesting. Of the 48 occurrences, we dealt with a couple of them in Genesis, of the 48 occurrences of El Shaddai in the Old Testament, there are 48 of them. This is the first. 31 of them, this shocked me when I was preparing this, 31 of them occur in the book of Job. Almost 65% of this, the declaration of God being all-sufficient, God Almighty, El Shaddai, 65% of them are found in the book of Job. I think there's a great lesson. As you think of the book of Job and what we know of the book of Job, right? The first 37 chapters of the book are basically Job and his three friends arguing about God. You go back and you read Job. You know, and one will make a claim as to this is who God is, and another one will make a claim, no, this is who God is, this is what God requires, no, this is what God requires. And basically, you have Job and his three friends arguing and bickering and complaining about God and who he is and what he requires, and you know, holding judgment against another one. No, you're the one who is messing up. No, you're the one who's messing up. It's 37 chapters of the noise of Job and his friends wrestling with who God is, arguing about it, complaining about one another. Until, as it were, again, you take Job as a whole and you come to chapter 40, and things change. Right? As we come to chapter 40 in the book of Job, we have this designation, and again, you'll hear the term El Shaddai. God has finally, as it were, had enough. You know, he's listened to the bickering and complaining and arguing. And he comes and makes declaration in chapter 40, verse 2, shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? Shall a fault finder contend with El Shaddai, the one who is almighty and all sufficient? Are you really going to contend with me? He who argues with God, let him answer it. In chapters 40 to 41, God reveals his might and his sufficiency over and over and over, and you have that wonderful declaration of the glory of God. Were you there when? Do you understand how this works? I am, in other words, God is saying in all of those details, I am El Shaddai, and you aren't. Job learns an incredibly valuable lesson. Chapter 42 of the book of Job. It's the last chapter. God has brought Job to this point. In the first six verses, it's quite something. Job gets the point. Job hears the Lord. He hears El Shaddai, and he says this, then Job answered the Lord, and he said this, I know that you can do everything. You can just see the lights going on with Job. I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is it, this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. And then we have verse 5. It's profound in its implications. Job, by God's grace, confesses this. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. In other words, I have heard a lot about you. I have argued, I have complained, I have all of those kind of things. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now, he says, my eyes see you. Now I see you as El Shaddai, as the one who is all-sufficient. Before, it was as if all I heard was a bunch of peripheral arguments about God and who he is and what he requires. But now my eyes have seen you. Now I understand. And then he says, verse 6, therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Walk before me, but now my eyes see you and be blameless. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job learned an incredibly valuable lesson. As he stood before El Shaddai, making the declaration, now my eyes have seen you. Now I understand. Now I get it. And I see myself for who I am. And I see all of the efforts and the striving and the arguing and the bickering and complaining out of ignorance. And now I repent in dust and ashes. Because I see you, El Shaddai. Now, it doesn't take us very much to realize that as we're talking about this great reality in the Old Testament, that we come into the New, and this very same reality is the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we know anything about the Lord Jesus, we know that he is God incarnate, that he is God in the flesh. One of the profound realities that we have to come to grips with when we think about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he is the attributes of God in the flesh. He is God incarnate. And what that means is profound when we think on this concept of El Shaddai. Jesus Christ is El Shaddai incarnate. He is God Almighty, God All-Sufficient, in the person of our Savior. He is indeed the fulfillment of all the promises to Abraham. All of them find their fulfillment in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it includes very much this one, that I am El Shaddai, I am God Almighty, I am God All-Sufficient, to bring you into the fullness of that which I have promised. In fact, as soon as we enter into the New Testament, you see that theme picked up almost immediately. Right? It's echoed here in Job, as he says, "Now my eyes have seen you." You think of Luke chapter 2, often a theme that is found around Christmas sermons and such, but you think of the person of Simeon. As he is there waiting in the temple, longing for the consummation of Israel, longing for the fulfillment of all that God has promised. And we read in verses 29 to 32, he says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people." He is holding the incarnate Son of God in his hands, and he says, "I behold your salvation. Now I see your redemption in this person." He's holding El Shaddai, God Almighty, God All-Sufficient. And he is rejoicing that he saw the day where God had brought to fulfillment and completion all that he had promised. As he came to Abram so long ago and said, "I am El Shaddai," there Simeon was holding El Shaddai in his hands. What were some of Jesus' favorite expressions in his public ministry? You trace through the Gospels. You work your way through the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was he continually teaching and preaching and crying out to people? He would say things like, "Follow me, come to me, abide in me, believe in me, trust in me." Why? Because he is El Shaddai. He is the all-sufficient one who was not only able to bring us to a state of blessing, but he is able to bring us to himself as the blessing. We don't have to clean ourselves up first. We don't have to cry enough. We don't have to do enough. We don't have to be blameless before we come. We come to the Lord Jesus Christ in our weakness and our frailty, in our sinfulness, in our struggles, in our trials, in our difficulties. We come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and in him we have El Shaddai, one who is all-sufficient, almighty, to deal with everything. Do we need forgiveness and cleansing? Do we need righteousness? Do we struggle with sin? Of course we do. Where do we receive that forgiveness and that cleansing and that righteousness? It is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we need strength and courage? Is there something that we need to do that we find extremely difficult? Is there a conversation that we need to have with somebody, but we're afraid? Is there a stand that we need to take, but we don't have the strength and courage to do it? Where do we find that strength and courage? It is in El Shaddai. It is in Jesus Christ. Do we need compassion and kindness and patience? Are we finding ourselves short with our children or short with our spouse or short with people around us? We have difficulty getting along. Do we need that compassion and that kindness, that empathy and that patience? Where do we find it? It is in El Shaddai. Do we need fellowship? Are we lonely? There's all kinds of people who speak of loneliness, and it's a real reality, especially in what's going on today. Do we need fellowship? As wonderful as the communion of the saints is, it is established and it is only meaningful as we have fellowship with God. Do we need fellowship? Are we lonely? Where do we find the essence of those things? It is in the person of Jesus Christ, the friend to sinners. You get the point. He is El Shaddai. He is all sufficient. He is almighty. There is nothing that we can bring to Christ where he'll say to us, "Oh, that's beyond me. I can't deal with that. I've thought about everything, but I haven't really thought about that." We come to him in the muck, and we come to him in the struggle, and we come to him in the trials, and we say, "You are El Shaddai. That's exactly what I need. I've been spending all of my life trying to pick up my own pieces, and I can't do it." We need El Shaddai. And so you see, as you come to Genesis chapter 17, before God gives sign and seal of the covenant of grace, before he says, "You know what, this is going to point you in a direction," you have to ask yourself the question, what direction does it point us to? What do the means of grace point us to? Who do the means of grace point us to? Is it not El Shaddai? And this is why we say it was not by accident that God comes to Abraham as he is ratifying this covenant, this promise. Before he gives sign, before he gives seal, he says, "Listen, Abram, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me, walk in me, and be blameless." Our God is indeed one who is infinite in being, in glory, in blessedness, in perfection. You have it outlined here in Article 1. He is the same God who is infinitely able to meet our every need. He satisfies not only to filling our cup to the brim. Right, we're thinking of God who is infinite. He doesn't just say to us, "Listen, here is who you are, and I'm going to fill you up to the top." As we come to our God, who is El Shaddai, it is as if God pours and pours and pours and pours, and it begins to pour out over the top of the glass and begins spilling out over all things. He is El Shaddai. And it will overflow for all eternity. We never come to the point in our understanding and our experience of God in Christ Jesus where we say, "Listen, we have kind of got to the end of his sufficiency." He is El Shaddai. And so God says to us this afternoon, he declares himself to be El Shaddai. And he says to us, "Walk before me and be blameless." And so we set our eyes afresh on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look to him. And we are able to declare, as we look to him by faith, indeed, God is El Shaddai. Let us pray. O Lord, our glorious God in heaven, we bow once again before you, and what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to know you. What a blessing it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to you, O Lord, in your grace and your mercy, and we declare to you, indeed, you are El Shaddai. in fact, but also by your grace in our experience. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that as we once again have met in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have come before the one who is El Shaddai, that you would enable us to embrace you afresh. Lord, forgive us for not coming to you with our sin and our trouble and our trials and our difficulties. Forgive us, O Lord, when we see you as nothing more than a conduit to blessing. We ask, O Lord, that as we look by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ again this very afternoon, that you would show to us that you are El Shaddai. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our song of response, number 103, the A selection, and we'll sing the verses 1 to 4.